I'm going to be giving a series of shiurim relating to the world of shelos and tshuvos. And the goal of these shiurim is to study some of the most influential tshuvos, responsa, in the history of halacha. And going to study a different famous tshuva every week and study the significance of that particular tshuva. And hopefully after studying a whole bunch of tshuvos, we can perhaps gain a better appreciation as to how a posek comes to decide halachic issues. It's one thing to study an issue in the Beit Midrash in theory, like studying Gemara and Rishonim, or studying the Rambam or the Shulchan Aruch as a code of Jewish law. And those of us who study in yeshiva are more familiar with this type of study. It is an entirely different thing to study responsa literature, to study a question that was asked that could be analyzed in multiple ways, and often there are halachic issues balanced against emotional or psychological needs and other circumstances. And very often you'll find there are other meta-halachic or hashkafic issues when a posek will opine on a matter through perhaps what is not a purely halachic lens. And the first tshuva we're going to discuss was written by Rav Yecheskel Landau. He was born in 1713 in Poland. He died in 1793 in Prague. He became the chief rabbi of Prague in 1755. This was the era of the Baal Shem Tov and the Vilna Gaon. He is best known for the monumental work of Shelos Tshuvos entitled Note of Yehuda. It was influential in the world of halacha. He's probably his most famous student of his yeshiva in Prague was Rav Avram Danzig, the Chaya Adam. And this tshuva, Note of Yehuda, Madura Tinyana, Yoredeya Siman Yud, is a tshuva about hunting. And he writes, this is a tshuva, and I'm not going to read the whole tshuva, but I'll read highlights of the tshuva so we get a sense of the issues that are involved. He writes, Tshuva Shalom Lahai Tzorev. It's Shalom Aleichem to this scholar, Haosek Bechukei Chorev, who occupies himself with the laws of Chorev of Har Sinai. Rav HaGaon Kavod Ahovi, Ha'aluf HaTorani Morenu HaRav Gumfrecht Oppenheim. So he writes, Michtavo Kibalti, I received his letter from this Rav Gumfrecht Oppenheim. Vim Eineni Makiro, Veloyadanale, and even though I don't know him, I don't recognize him, I don't know him. Ach asher ba lishol shelasa, umishtoi belishna de chachmasa hineni meshiv lechol shoel. He says, even though I don't know him, if someone asks a shayla and he speaks in a smart way, he composes a shayla with wisdom, I want to respond to anyone who's asking. So he doesn't know this of Oppenheim. Vishore Shelaso, and here's the root of his question. Ishachad Asher Zachayu Asher Benachalav Rechava. There's a person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu merited him with a large estate. Vieshlo Kfarim V'Yaros. He had villages and forests. Asher B'Hayaros Tirmos Kol Chayse Yar. In his forests, all different animals are roaming around. And the question is, imutar lo leilech ba'atzmo liros bekana sreifa latzutzayid. Is it permissible for him to go in this forest to shoot with a fire stick or a rifle in order to hunt game? Oim aser liyisrael asos davarzeh, or is it forbidden for a Jew to do this? And then he cites three potential halachic issues. The questioner, Rav Gumfrecht Oppenheim. Imi shum tzar balichayim, maybe it's an issue of tzar balichayim, causing harm to a living animal. Imi shum bal tashchis, maybe it's destroying the property, destroying power of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Or imi shum shenagu bo iser tzar balichayim. Maybe it's a type of tzar balichayim, which perhaps there's some leeway to understand whether it's usur or not, but there is a minhag that Jews don't engage in this type of tzar balichayim. So either it's the iser of tzar balichayim, it's an iser of bal tashchis, or it's a minhag of tzar balichayim that Klal Yisrael said, this is not what we do. So those are the three issues that were brought up to him. So first he deals with the tzar balichayim issue, and he cites two seemingly conflicting tosfos. There's one tosfos in Avodah Zarah that he cites, where he says that Avo Pisha Tzar Balichayim Doraisa He says that even though there's a Torah prohibition of Tzar Bali Chayim, however, if there is a purpose to it, then it's permitted. It's not a violation of Tzar Bali Chayim. Tzar Bali Chayim is only needless harm of a living creature, but if there's a purpose, then it's permitted. However, he then cites another Tosfos in Avodah Zarah as well, which states seemingly the opposite. And there was a custom that when the king died, to honor the king, they would be okay, they would uproot or detach the hooves of an animal, which obviously involves harm. And there the Tosu says that shiny kavod ha-melach shehu kavod l'chol Yisrael v'asi kavod d'rabim v'dachi tzar bali chayim. The reason why this is permitted is because of this was viewed as kavod to the deceased king, honor to the deceased king, to detach the hooves of the horses on which he rode, so no one else should ride on it. And this is a kavod for the king. If not for that, there seemingly would be a prohibition of tzar bali chayim, even though there's a need. Im Kain says, the Nota Behuda, Mashma Midivrayim, would apply from the words of Tosfos, this Tosfos, Shet Tzar Bali Chaim Chomir, the Tzar Bali Chaim is strict, Veino Mutar Afilo Tzorech, Rach Mishum Kavod Rabim. That just because there's a need, doesn't allow you to obviate the prohibition of Tzar Bali Chaim, only if there's a Kavod Rabim, a great Kavod, Kavod for the masses, Kavod of the king. So maybe that's something different. Now, the way that the Nota Behuda solves this Tzar Bali Chaim issue is that he writes, Kol Davar Sheyesh Bo Tzorech La'adam Leispe Mishum Tzar Bali Chaim. He says, number one, it seems from many poskim that bottom line is, if there is a real need for a person, then there's no violation of Tzar Bali Chaim. And secondly, Gam Lo Shach Tzar Bali Chaim El Letzaro Lanicho B'chayim. And also, Tzar Bali Chaim does not apply in a situation, it only applies in a situation where you're causing pain to an animal that's living. But to kill animals and all types of living things, there's no prohibition of Tzar Bali Chaim. So regarding the Tzar Bali Chaim, he sort of brushes that issue off to the side for two reasons. Number one is there's a purpose. Person is trapping the animals. Maybe he's going to get skins from the animals. And also, Tzar Bali Chaim only applies if the animal ends up living. Here, you're killing the animal, so it's technically not Tzar Bali Chaim. And then he deals with the Baal Tashris issue. He says, V'imkein ein b'nidon she'elos mishum Tzar Bali Chaim. There's no concern of Tzar Bali Chaim. U'mishum Baal Tashris v'ali le'kaderi nene ba'or v'gam eino osa derech hashchos. Also, there's no prohibition of Baal Tashchis, because Baal Tashchis is you're wasting God's creations. And here, you're not wasting, you're benefiting from the skins of the animal. You're not doing this in a destructive manner, you're trapping the animal to use its skins. And then he also says, V'lomar she'osur mitzad advarm ha'mutar v'achem nagu b'hem iser. And to say that it's forbidden because people had the minhag, the custom not to engage in this, gam kim leka lemecha. So even though, let's say, from Jews don't engage in this practice, and most from Jews don't engage in this practice, leka lemecha, shedavar lo shchiach, lo shech bo lemeimar, shenogu bo iser. Something which is not so common to begin with, it's hard to say that it's because from Jews don't engage in it, it's bedafka, they don't engage in it. It's only in a situation that's very common, that a lot of people engage in a certain practice. And then if from Jews have a minhag not to do it, okay, so maybe then that this minhag of Tzar Bali Chaim, this iser, would apply. But here, it's not so common to begin with. There's no minhag iser regarding Tzar Bali Chaim. So here he addresses the three questions of Rav Oppenheim, and it seems, case closed, is permitted to go hunting. And he writes, V'hine ako dibarnu mitzad hadin. Up until this point, we are speaking according to the letter of the law. These three issues. But as we know, a good posek raises issues not only that the questioner asks, but he raises issues on his own. And he said, and then he goes on and he said, and he brings up what I like to refer to as a meta halachic issue. And he writes, V'obnam ma'od ani tama al gufa davar. In reality, I am wondering about this issue altogether. Below Matsinu Ish Tsayid Rak Ben Nimrod Uve Esav. Who are the hunters that we find in the Torah? Nimrod and Esav. Vein Zedarche Bnei Avram Yisrael Yaakov. This is not the way of the children of Avram Yisrael Yaakov. This is a meta halachic reason. This is an issue of, this is not what from Jews do. It's not the way of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. And he cites a psak from the Ramah. He says, "Upuchazi lomar," and you should, you know, you go and you find that there is a custom to say tivalav utechadesh. And he cites the Ramah in Simon, in Or Chaim, Simon Reish Chav Gimel Se'ivav. And he says the custom is, if someone wears a new garment, you say you should wear it, and it should be new for you. The Ramah writes, She'ein lomar kein al nasim oros behema, mishum v'rachum mokom asav. The Ramah cites an opinion that you really should not sort of bless someone who buys a new clothing if he uses clothing that come from the skins of animal, because V'rachma v'komasav, Kadosh Baruch Hu is merciful in all of his creations. And he writes, V'afshar Rama kasav lo shutam chalosh. Even though the Rama writes, this is a weak reason, Hani mitzad she'enu chayav, enu chiyuv, shebishvilu yomisu behema. That's because it's not clear that if someone buys a skin, that the animal, that someone killed the animal specifically for the skin, many animals die by themselves, and many skins are prepared. So, like, the reason why the Ramah is not so excited about this psak that you shouldn't say to someone tivaleu v'titchadesh regarding skins of an animal is because many animals may die on their own. So then, if the animal dies on its own, what's the problem with using the skins? However, the Ramah concludes that many people are makpid, not to say this, or particularly not to say this. And the Noda Bihiro goes on to say, and how could a Jew openly kill a living animal without any need? Rak ligmor chemdas zmano lisasik betzida. Well, how can someone actively kill beasts needlessly simply to pass his leisure time by engaging in hunting? If you're gonna say Vimishum Shadovum Zavim Shar Chayosa Torfim, Muadim Lahazik, maybe you'll say that bears and wolves and other wild animals that rip, that kill, so they are Muad Lahazik, they are presumed to damage. Vare Omushazev Ari Kol Kolam Lahargum Zacha. There is a Gemara which says that, and a halacha also that anyone who goes out of his way to kill these wild animals, it's a good thing to do. He says that that's not our situation. He says, Gamza eno inyan linidon didan. These halachos about killing wild animals doesn't apply to our situation. Do not apply to our situation. Dehasam kishabo liyishu b'makom b'nei adam. Vehem bo liyadam b'chol yagim v'shabas yidrasim lefi tumo. If they're coming to our, into where we're living, if you have wild animals that are coming to our communities, then you should kill them to save the people because they're a danger. Of a lirdof achrem biaros makomonos, but to go after them, to chase them when they're not coming into our towns, but to go into the forest to chase them in their habitat. Kishemikim lavol yishuv, when they're not coming to our communities. Ein kan mitzvah, there's no mitzvah. Ein kan rak lirdof achare tavas libo v'atsa nidbe kitavia. There is nothing but the pursuit of his heart's appetites and the counsel of the Yetzer Hara, which is compared to the deer. And he says, u'mishu ish atzarech lazeh, if someone needs this, u'parnasaso mitzeda kazu, and his parnasa is from this trapping, lo shayach ach zarios, this concern of cruelty doesn't apply. And behold, we know that we shecht animals. We're not, from Jews, are not only vegetarians. We shecht animals, domesticated animals, wild animals, and birds, and we kill fish for the needs of mankind. What's the difference if they're considered tahor animals, kosher animals that you can eat from their flesh? What's the difference if your job is to trap, you have a business and you trap animals, non-kosher animals, and you sell their skins? And living things are given to a person for his needs. But if it's not for his parnasa, and if the main intent is not for his parnasa, then hu achzarios, then it's cruelty. So this probably relates, even though he doesn't quote the Ramban, but the Noda Behuda's point is very reminds me of the Ramban's famous comment on the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan. The Ramban in Perek in Dvarim Chavbez Pasuk Vav in Shiluach HaKan, he says that the reason is similar to the of sending away the mother bird when before taking the eggs. It's similar to the reason of not shechting an animal and its offspring on the same day. And the Ramban writes, Ki atam bishneim levilti ayos lo nelev achsari velo nerachem. The goal is that we shouldn't become cruel, develop a sense of cruelty, feelings of cruelty. We need to be merciful. And the person who doesn't send away the mother bird, the person who slaughters the animal and its offspring in the same day, so they develop the sense of cruelty. If you're permitted to kill animals for parnasa, you don't develop cruelty if you kill animals to feed people as if it's part of your parnasa, but stam for recreational purposes and then to use the skins, that the Noda Behuda believes leads to, it transforms our neshama to become developed, feelings of cruelty. So that's the first point, which is a hashkafic point, that it's not correct that simply the world is for us to use as we see fit. There are rules in maintaining the world. This tshuva stands for the position that the world is, there are rules in how we use the world that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, that wanton destruction is wrong. Cruelty, even to nature, that's wrong. There's a spiritual value to not acting in a cruel way to God's creations, because we become cruel as a result of that. And here, it's very clear, as Noda Behuda employs, meta halachic value as part of psak. But then he goes further, and he says, Va'akan dibarti mitzad yosher hanhaga shor lo'odim l'harchik mizeh. Until I spoke about Yashrus, the proper way that someone should, distance himself from. V'achshavadi omer. And now I say, afilu isur ika. There might even be a prohibition. Sharei kol ha'oskin bozeh tzrichim likones b'yaros lachnis atzvum b'sakonos gedolos b'makom gedudei chayos. That anyone who enters into the forests, they're putting themselves in grave danger if they're going to hunt wild animals. V'rachman Amar, the Torah says, V'nishmartim od l'nafsho seichem. You should be careful with your souls. You have to take care of yourself. You can't engage in unnecessary risks. U'milanu gadov u'man baki b'tzeda yosem e'esav. Who's a greater expert in trapping and hunting than Esav? Shekasav heid olav ahi Esav yodeat sayid. Esav was a hunter. Puchazi ma amar hu'al atzmo. What did Esav say about himself? Hine anochi olech lamus. I'm going to die, he tells Yaakov. Why? Ein mikro yotze midei pshuto shahayinu shu'u mistakim b'chol yom ben gedu dechaya suchen perush ha-Ramban. That the Ramban says explicitly, but that's the pshat of the pasuk, that Esav is aware that hunting is a very dangerous sport. And how can a person, a Jew, put himself into a dangerous situation of hunting wild animals? Now, someone who's a poor person and he does this for his livelihood, then the Torah allows you to engage in danger for parnasa, like someone who is a merchant and he's going on the seas all the time. Shekoma shutzarach lemichyasu parnasaso ain't breira. If it's for parnasa, there's no choice. Vatorah amra, the Torah says, ve'ilav hu nosei es nafsho. And the Torah says that about the wages of a day laborer, it's the pasuk in Devarim, his life depends on this. Va'amu razal, the Chachamim say, this is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the name maze ola ba'kevesh v'nit la be'ilon u'mosar atzma l'misa lo ascharo. Why the person ascend a ram, dangle from a tree, place himself at a risk of death, is it not for his wages? Again, if it's for parnasa, the Torah understands that we have the right to engage in certain risks, even for our life, if it's for the purpose of parnasa. But if the main purpose is not for your life, for your sustenance, and just simply he desires, he wants to go to this place of these wild animals, umachnis atzmo besakari, place himself in danger. He violates v'nishmartem ma'od l'nafsho seichem, putting your life in danger. And he goes on to say that also the last paragraph he talks about, besides this iser and besides this danger, that when you put yourself in a dangerous situation, you also they somehow that in Shemayim they mention your sins, and again that's a bad thing. When you put yourself in danger, then in Shemayim they're talking about your sins, and again if someone needs to do it for parnasa, again it's allowed. But misha osa kain bishat nefesh eich tukubat chilaso. But if someone simply engages in danger in such an abhorrent manner, how could his, and then he has a prayer that God should save him. You know, how will his prayer be answered? It's a bad mida. The hainu achzaros, it's cruelty. Vagami surah, it's forbidden. Visakanta, he's put himself in danger. And also haskaras avanosav. It's based on a Mishnah in Brachos. When you place yourself in a dangerous situation, physically, then on Shemayim, they remind you of your sins. So why do you want to put yourself in that situation? V'lachein, and then he writes, Hashomei Ali, anyone who wants to listen to me, Yishkon Betach Hashkeit V'shanam Bebeis. So you should remain secure, quiet, and contentedly in his house. You shouldn't waste his time with matters like this. So again, not only does he explain the hashkafic point about how certain behaviors could lead to developing the unfortunate midah of achzarius, of cruelty, the meta halachic of psak, but he also creates, the Rabbi Yehuda creates a framework regarding the boundaries of v'nishmartem od l'nafsho secha. You're permitted to engage in risk for parnasa, but not if it doesn't involve parnasa. And then he finishes off with that mystical point. On a spiritual level, he creates a time when his sins are brought up. And you shouldn't do that unnecessarily. Why is this tshuva by the Noda Bihuda so significant? So first of all, it teaches us that the posek needs to consider sometimes other issues than those which are brought to him. Rav Oppenheim brought to him the issues of Tsar Bali Chayim, Bal Tashchis, and Minog Isser. But a good posek knows to think about other issues, like the hashkafic issue of cruelty, midah of cruelty, the Torah prohibition of nishmartem od l'nafsho seichem, the mystical point of bringing up his sins. This tshuva again highlights the fact that a posek, a good posek, a first-rate posek, will take into consideration meta halachic, non-pure halachic issues. And you know how it's probably more flexible, different poskim, depending, you know, on their religious worldview, might look at a meta halachic issue one way, and others might look at it a different way. But that certainly is part and parcel of psak, not just pure halacha, but ashkafa as well. And he speaks of, and from here, this tshuva, we learn about the impact of our behaviors on our neshama. He points out that hunting for sport is forbidden because of the danger, and because it reflects and can lead to greater cruelty. And you wonder how this tshuva can be applied to modern day situations. What about going to a shooting range? What about engaging in violent video games or watching violent movies, etc., etc.? So these halachic discussions use this tshuva as a basis for discussing these issues. His tshuva also teaches us to value Kadosh Baruch Hu's creations, and there's a limitation on using these creations for our benefit. It's not simply we can use it for whatever we want. There are limitations. And also, this tshuva highlights the importance of our responsibility of taking care of our own lives. We can take certain risks, but not other risks. For parnasa, there's a lot of flexibility. But if we're not dealing with our parnasa, then we have to consider that perhaps we should not engage in certain risks. We shouldn't engage in certain risks if it's not for parnasa. That's why this tshuva has so many gems hidden in it, which we can use for our analysis of tshuvos in general, and very important points regarding to psak halacha, substantive, and also procedural. Have a great day.